everyone. You're very welcome to Shiloh again this evening. Before we turn to the Word of God, I just want to pray and ask for God's blessing on His Word, but also to pray for others who are sick and suffering at this time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You this evening knowing that nothing is too hard for You. You are Almighty God. You spoke into existence everything that exists. And as the children's song says, Lord, You have the whole world in Your hands. And we draw near to You now, Father, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, and ask You, Lord, to remember those tonight who are sick, those who are suffering, grieving, those, Lord, who are hurting in other ways, those, Lord God, who are burdened with the difficulties of life, knowing that You are a God of great grace and compassion. We ask that You would draw near to people tonight, that You would minister to their deepest, deepest need. For the sick, Lord, that You might heal them. For the suffering, that You might comfort them. For the grieving, Lord God, that You would bind up their broken heart. For those hurting, Lord God, in other ways, that You would send Your Spirit to be like the healing balm upon their wound. Father, we know that You can do these things. We know, Lord God, that nothing is impossible with You. We ask, Father, tonight that You would speak to us through Your Word, that Your Holy Spirit would put the seal of approval upon this Word tonight, upon this series, please, as we proclaim not just to the people here and to ourselves, to the people listening on Facebook and to YouTube and others on the podcast, but we proclaim into the heavenlies that Jesus, whom we love, Jesus who loved us and gave Himself for us, that He can make the impossible possible. Help us now, Holy Spirit, to hear this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as I've already said, tonight we are beginning our new series, Jesus Makes the Impossible Possible. And over the coming weeks, let me just be absolutely clear about this, because I know people are going to freak out, and undoubtedly my phone's going to be text messages and there's going to be people stopping. Can I have a word with you about what you said on Sunday night? Right, let me just make it clear. You're going to hear incredible things in this series. You are going to hear, best way to describe it these days is head-melting things as Christians. You're going to hear about situations that undoubtedly will have you questioning, is this really possible? Or is Taddy Gordon on acid? Right? And just making these things up as he goes along. Some of the events, some of the circumstances in this series are undoubtedly, and you've got to try to understand this, some of the things that we're going to be looking at in this series are outside, way, way outside the box as far as our religious beliefs and our thinking are concerned. Okay, so you're going to be asked to think outside the box, and some of us are going to be challenged. Some of us are going to find this difficult. Some of you probably may ever say, switch off Facebook, get that off YouTube, he's a heretic. You know, he needs to be burned at the stake for the things that he's saying. All I'm asking you to do is bear with me, listen to the Word of God, and try to think outside the box, even momentarily, to ask, is this possible? The things that you will hear, the stories that I will tell, some of the things that we will be faced with, they will have us wondering if we have been or currently are seeking to limit a limitless God. Now, let's be clear again about what I'm saying. Some of the things that we're going to hear, some of the things that we're going to be challenged with in this series, it's going to make you think, have I been limiting God? Have I been putting God into my wee religious box, into my wee sort of finite mentality, because I just don't want to think outside of that box because it's way beyond me? I received a book for Christmas from a friend of mine, Spoon. He sometimes comes down here. And although I have to say, although it's one of those read a portion everyday books, I absolutely hate them. Right? I don't know, others have bought me the Checkbook of Faith by Spurgeon, and I cheat. I maybe read about 20 or 30 pages at a time. I cheat as I'm going through it looking for a really good one, but I can't be bothered with this read a page every day stuff. That bores me to death, and when you're an addict, you don't just want one, you want more. And I have this addictive personality that wants more. And if I'm reading a part of it, something a wee bit bored, I'll jump to the next page to see if it's any more exciting. And so, although Spoon bought me this book, and it's one of those, the type that I hate, I have to say, I am really enjoying it. I actually was on the phone with him the other day and said, Spoon, you're never going to believe us. See that book you bought me? I'm actually really enjoying it. And he says, what's it about? I was always told, never buy someone a book if you haven't read it. Because what if it turns out to be nonsense? What if it turns out to be teaching you something contrary to what the Word of God says? He says, what's it about? It's a book of amazing stories by a guy called Robert Peterson. And to date, just to give you an example, like we're at the 12th of January. And to date, I've read about a marathon competitor. And this marathon competitor had his legs blown off years ago as he went to rescue friends. He had his legs blown off, and yet he completed the marathon using only his arms and his torso. I've learned about a guy called Tamerlane. Anybody here ever heard of Tamerlane? Well, I'm going to tell you. I hadn't either. Tamerlane was a Mongol warrior, and he put a curse, or someone put a curse, on his tomb. And what basically had happened was Stalin from Russia, somehow Joe Stalin found out about this tomb, and he went to his people and he said, get in there and get me everything that's in there and bring it back to Russia. And then people went into Tamerlane's tomb, even though the tomb said, anybody that touches this tomb will bring doom upon their own people. That's what it said. Anyone who comes near this tomb, touches this, will bring doom upon their own people. Within days of Stalin's people bringing the artifacts from Tamerlane, this Mongol warrior, from his tomb to Russia, Hitler invaded Russia and wiped out millions of Russians. Well, Joe Stalin panicked, and other people panicked, said, this is this curse, get rid of it. A bit like the Philistines when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into their area and they all started to get cancer. And said, get rid of it, send it back. Well, Stalin was the same. Get rid of it, take it back. And so they took it back to Tamerlane's tomb. And within 4 days of putting it back where it belonged, Hitler started to lose the war. Weird, strange thing. I've also learned about Alexander the Great. He was a bit boring, basically, but there was a good thing about him was that he had such a drive. He wanted to take over the world. But when there was nothing else in his world to take over, he basically either topped himself, or because he became so boring, people killed him. It's something like that. I can't be absolutely 100% sure. And then I read of a guy called Matthew Henson, and I'll bet you most of you have never heard of Matthew Henson either. Well, Matthew Henson is the African American who is now considered to be the first man to ever reach the North Pole. Now, what was happening in those days was you had your African American type guys who were your valets and your slaves or your servants or whatever it was, and they came with you helping you as you were trying to do these great adventures. Well, the guy himself, whose name I can't remember, that's how important he was, but he took sick just a few miles away from the North Pole. And so his servant decided, well, I'm going to take the flag and I'll just head on up there and I'll plant it on our behalf. But he never, ever received the glory and the accolades of being the first man to reach the North Pole. It was always the white guy. Now, had it been a white guy, there would have been all the praise. But because he was African-American, it was all kept hush-hush. But his name is Matthew Henson, and he is the man attributed with coming to the North Pole first. But When I got to the 8th of January, I have no doubt some of you will know about this person. When I got to the 8th of January, I read about a guy called Aaron. And Aaron was a really keen climber. He loved climbing. He would go anywhere to climb, and he didn't take too much of all of the tackle that you need. He just basically loved climbing. A real adventurer. And one day, while he was climbing, he dislodged this massive boulder which came tumbling down and crushed his right arm. Problem is, it crushed him against the rock. And so he was trapped for 5 days. And the book says this: he screamed, he cursed, and he prayed, but no one in heaven or earth seemed to be listening. And Aaron knew that death was inevitable if he didn't do something. And so he broke the bones in his crushed right arm and took out a blunt knife somehow from his pocket, and with the blunt knife he slowly cut through the right arm until it ripped off and he fell to the ground. Bleeding and delirious, five days trapped like that and slicing through with this blunt knife till the arm tore and he fell down. He then walked, bleeding and delirious, he walked 7 miles before a couple of tourists found him and rescued him. Now, like me, some of you know this story because of the film 127 Hours. If you haven't watched it, it's worth watching. It's based all around Aaron's misadventure. But what I didn't know was what I read next. Now, I remember watching the film, but I don't remember this being in the film. But then I can watch a movie tonight and watch it 2 weeks later and think I've never seen this before. So what I read next was incredible. On the last night of his terrible ordeal, as he was trying to get through the last sinews of his right arm, on his last night of this terrible ordeal, a ghost-like figure of a blonde-haired boy about 3 years of age appeared to Aaron and threw his arms around Aaron and hugged him very, very tightly. 6 years later, Aaron's wife gave birth to a baby boy. And when the boy was 3 years old, Aaron told Time magazine that his son was the same toddler who came to him to give him hope in his agonizing ordeal. So what do you think? How impossible or possible is that? A child that hadn't even been born. 6 years later, it would be born. 3 years after that, it would be 3 years old. And Aaron recognized that that same three-year-old toddler, his son, was the same child that came to him 9 years earlier in his terrible ordeal and gave him a massive hug. So what do you think of that? How impossible or possible is that? Is it possible that someone in heaven was listening to Aaron in his predicament? Most people who knew my dad called him Jackie. Everybody knew my dad as Jackie, but that wasn't my dad's real name. It's like my brother Joe. Everybody calls him Joe. That's not his real name. His real name's Carl. Everybody calls Noop, but his real name's Stuart. Everybody calls me Taddy, but mine's Gertrude. Pemrose. So my dad, everybody who knew him as Jackie. Now my dad loved to drink, he loved to smoke, and he loved to bet on the horses. And although he may not have ever called himself a Christian, he was a man who feared God to an extent that every morning in life, when he got up before the Wayans got up for school or anything, every morning in life he would sit with a cup of tea in his hand and look out the window across the trees towards Valentine Plainfields, and he prayed to God. Every morning in life he would get up with his cup of tea, just look out and pray to God. And he always asked God to help him to take care of the wee folk. And that was a name that he had for us, his children. My dad and my mum had split up. My mum wasn't able to get custody of any of us. She lived in a bedsit at the time. And so my dad had custody of 8 of us. And every morning in life he would get up and he would pray to God and say, "Will you help me to take care of the wee folk?" Now, no one else knew that he called us this. No one knew that he prayed to God. And only God to whom he prayed knew who the wee folk were. On one occasion, while he was in hospital awaiting surgery, he was quite anxious. He was really concerned if anything happened to him, what would become of his children? What would become of his sons and daughters? What would happen to the wee folk? Now, we were all quite young at the time. The night before his surgery, it was in Ards Hospital, the night before his surgery was due, he was unable to sleep. He was really restless with worry. And although not a Christian at that time — my dad, thank God, became a Christian before he died — but although not a Christian at that time, he relayed at a later date to people that on the night before his surgery, while overwhelmed with anxiety, he heard a gentle voice speak, calling him by his proper name. The voice said, "John, John, don't be afraid. I'll have you back with the wee folk before you know it." How does that happen? He's a gambler, a smoker, a drinker. People who knew my dad have no harm in him, but he wouldn't have called him a Christian. He wouldn't have called himself a Christian. But he feared God and he prayed. And that night he heard as clear as day, "John, John," his real name, "don't be afraid. I'll have you back with the wee folk before you know it." Well, the surgery was a success, and within a couple of days, my dad was back home. So what do you think tonight? Is that even possible? Would the Lord draw near to a man like my dad and speak comfort to him in his hour of need? Psalm 147, verse 5 says this: "God is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. It has no limit." Hear that? Great is the Lord, God our Lord. Great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. It has no limit. Do you ever think God doesn't understand what you're going through? Do you ever think when you're praying and you're not getting the answer that you think you should get, that maybe God doesn't understand how you really feel? Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding, it has no limit. It is infinite. The understanding of the Lord is infinite, it is unlimited, and that means he understands everything about each of us and every circumstance that we face in life. Are you having a bad day? The Lord knows. Are you fighting battles with sickness, with disease, with aches and pains? the Lord knows. How do I know? Because the word says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. It has no limits. Are you struggling with temptation and sin? The Lord understands your plight. He understands your battle. Are you questioning life and what it's all about? Well, the Lord understands what you're going through. How do I know? Because the Word of God says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. It has no limits. Have you got loved ones that are struggling? Have you got loved ones that you're pleading with God with and you're not hearing any answers and the heavens seem like brass and you don't seem to be able to get through to God? Or maybe you think he's gone off on a holiday because he just doesn't seem to be responding to you. Great is your Lord, great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. It has no limit. He knows where you're at. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what your concerns are. And he cares about you. Are you feeling depressed? Are you despondent about life? Are you feeling hopeless or a sense of wanting to commit suicide? The Lord knows. Perhaps you're fighting an addiction. Maybe your marriage or your relationship is on the rocks. Maybe you're looking at events in the world and you're afraid for the future. Or you're lonely, you're heartbroken, you're grief-stricken, you're wrestling with guilt, with shame, with anger, or with hurt. Whatever the situation in life, whatever battle you are facing, the Lord in his infinite, unlimited, limitless understanding knows what you're going through. And he cares for you. And he loves you. What might seem to you to be an impossible situation is not impossible with God. Jesus can make the impossible possible for you. Listen to what Jesus says to you tonight. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, whatever your struggle or battle might be, listen to what Jesus says to you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord knows the things you struggle with. He knows your labors. He knows your burdens. He knows your anxieties and your cares. His understanding of your situation is unlimited. It is limitless. He already knows how to lift the burden from you. Just as he did with Aaron Ralston, the climber, granting him hope at the point of his hopelessness. We have to think outside the box. As far as this little toddler boy comes in a ghost-like figure and hugs what 6 years later or 9 years later turns out to be his son who's 3 years old. We have to think outside the box. Just as God met with Aaron Ralston the climber, granting him hope at the point of his hopelessness, just as he did with my dad in the midst of his overwhelming anxiety and fear when he spoke to him, John, don't be afraid. I'll have you back with the wee folk before you know it. So the Lord knows you, and he knows how to help you. The difficulty is not with the Lord Jesus. The difficulty lies in the fact that we, through our lack of faith and unbelief, seek to limit a limitless God. Now, that doesn't mean we've got to try to conjure up faith. And that's what I'm saying to you is we've got to stop limiting an unlimited God. We've got to let the unlimited God do things the way he wants to do it. Now, wouldn't it have been great if God just stopped the boulder from falling? But it didn't happen. Wouldn't it have been great if it might have just broke his arm or something like that there, but not trap it for 5 days and then have to hack it off with a blunt knife? Wouldn't it be great if God had intervened long before that? But he didn't. Because God's timing is perfect, and God has a plan in all of the things that goes beyond our understanding. And in our understanding, because we don't understand God's plan, we limit him by our unbelief. We limit him by our lack of faith in his limitlessness. We have got to think differently. We have the Lord, or certainly our view of him, enclosed in the box of our finite, limited understanding. And we can't think outside the box. We're scared to open that box. The enemy can have us afraid to open the box, to think outside the box, because we think if we think outside it, oh, we might get led astray through heresy, or we might lose our salvation. God is bigger than our thinking. Christian, let me ask you this tonight. Are you prepared to think outside your religious box? Are you prepared to stop trying to limit our limitless God and have faith in him? Will you dare to invite the Lord Jesus to make the impossible possible for you? Now, let me ask you this. Please don't shout it out. What is your impossible tonight? What is the impossible that is in your life right now? Jesus knows. He is unlimited in his understanding. He is infinite in his knowledge of all that you are going through. And he knows what is the impossibility. But he is saying to you, will you give the impossibility over to me? And I will do the possible. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to invite the Lord Jesus? And I hope when we get to the prayer tonight that in your own heart you will pray and say, Lord, I'm going to give to you the impossible in my life to ask you to make it possible. Will you dare to do that? Will you dare to invite Jesus to make the impossible possible for you? Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. It has no limit. He who chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, who formed you and knit you together in your mother's womb and has appointed all your days, has great and awesome plans for your life. Will you purpose in your heart tonight to stop limiting our limitless Lord and have faith in him? Maybe there's someone tonight here or watching in and you're not yet a believer. Perhaps you're not yet a Christian. Perhaps you have your own view of God and you think that you have him enclosed in the box of your own understanding. Well, let me say again, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. It has no limit. You can't keep God in a box. He knows everything about you, and yet he loves you, and he wants you to know him and enjoy him. But your sin, your lack of faith and unbelief in Jesus robs you of God's salvation. Will you tonight let Jesus make the impossible possible for you? Will you put your trust in Jesus to save you? Jesus says this to you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May you humbly surrender your life to Jesus tonight and receive his salvation, and let him make the impossible possible for you. Let's pray. Lord, we've just begun this series, Lord, and we're confronted with two realities in Aaron Ralston's life, and the ghost-like figure of a child that wasn't yet born, and a man like my dad, whom I loved, Lord God, but a man that he wouldn't for most of his life have called himself a Christian, a drinker, smoker, Lord God, gambler. But nonetheless, in his hour of need, you came and you spoke to him. What a gracious and merciful God you are. Your understanding is infinite. It is limitless. You know the need of every person in this place tonight, every person watching it on Facebook, on YouTube, or listening to the podcast. You know the deep, deep need of every soul. Lord, in your infinite grace and understanding, will you draw near to people, please? Will you prompt them by your Spirit to get them to hand over the impossible to you, so that you, Lord God, might make it possible? Lord, you are a gracious and a merciful God, and we thank you for Jesus. Who could ever have thought that sinners could be saved by grace, that sinners could receive the righteousness of God? But you made the impossible possible, and we just celebrate your goodness tonight. Lord, speak into all of our lives and help us, please, tonight. In these moments, Lord God, help us to yield the impossibles of our lives, the challenges that we face, to yield them to you and to invite you in the quietness of our hearts, to invite you, Lord Jesus, will you take this impossible situation and make it possible, please? Well, we ask it in your most beautiful name. Amen.